Lift it up for you. Come and sing. Oh, lift your voice. I'm here with Mr. Lindsay Anderson. Tell us, what do you got going on?
Well, lots going on. and as we've been opening up, it's been fun to be able to see people again, but also to meet some new folks. And we've got a couple of events coming up for newcomers. We have a newcomers dinner on May 17th, 6 p.m. Here at the WRC campus. And if you're interested, you can hit the website and sign up for that. That would be fantastic. We also are going to have a Connect group. So something that'll run for a few weeks after and be able to enter into a little bit more of community and get to know each other a little bit. And so that's what that is. That's May 31st. Again, need you to sign up, hit the website for that.
Awesome. So if you are new and you do want to meet us, which we would love, head to our website and register for those two events. And what else we got coming up?
Well, we were just talking about it. We haven't been able to do a baptism service for quite a while. So we're looking forward to a baptism service on June 5th. And if you are interested, maybe you just already know this is your next step, but maybe you're wondering a little bit about it, interested, go to our website on the homepage, hit the baptism tab. There's some resource there for you. You can get connected with us. We'd love to celebrate with you on taking that next step in your spiritual journey.
Awesome. Well, lots of stuff going on, whether you're new or whether you're interested in baptism. You know the drill. Head to the website or send us an email. We'd love to connect with you. Have a great week.
Well, good morning and welcome. We're so glad that you've joined us. Happy Mother's Day. I'm going to invite you to stand as we get started to worship our God. We're so grateful to be able to gather together on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen people to worship our great Creator. And just as we begin, I want to lead us through this call to worship to just help us focus our hearts and our minds on our God. And it says this, "Come, God gathers us for worship. like a mother hen gathers her brood under her wings. Our God, loving and nurturing. In love, God saves and supports us, teaching us the way we should go. Trusting in God, we continually offer our praise. So let's do that. Let's continue to offer our praise to our God by singing, "Our God is the Lion and the Lamb."
Bye.
great King of glory, seated on high in the heavens. Oh, Jesus, you alone. You are the Lord God Almighty, strong in compassion and mercy. Oh, Jesus, you. I lift my voice and sing worthy. I bow my life to exalt thee, Jesus, you alone. Jesus, you sing this hymn, How Great Thou Art, and I know that this is a familiar one, so I want to hear your voices singing this out loud. Let's sing this praise to our God together. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, sings my soul, my Savior, God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through chorus. Let's just sing that one more time. Let's just lift our voices and proclaim this to our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. God, you are so great. You are so majestic. You are so holy. You are so worthy of everything that we can give you that would offer you praise, whether that's in song or in word or in deed. Yeah, God, you are worthy of everything that we can give you. So this morning, we compile our praise, both those in the room and those joined with other churches across the world, with those at home in living rooms just tuning in on the live stream. God, we combine all of our praise and we lift it up to you because you are worthy of it and of so much more. So God, we give you glory, we give you praise, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, you can have a seat. And kids, before you run off, we have a quick little Mother's Day video. So check out this video, and then kids, then I'll dismiss you, okay? Cool.
Okay. So, say take one and then smack it down.
Action!
What does your mom talk about a lot?
Mostly stuff that I cannot question and I don't know about.
Reading. She's trying to get me into reading. I just don't get it.
Taxes.
She doesn't talk about stuff. She always sings about Beyonce.
What's something your mom's always telling you?
Stop talking about the iPad. No iPad.
Go brush your teeth.
How does she know you didn't brush your teeth? She just knows.
I can't.
You can't remember? Oh.
No, I can't.
Oh, that's okay.
Clean my room.
Is your room get kind of dirty?
Kind of.
Kind of?
Kind of.
Would your mom say it's kind of dirty, or would your mom say, this is dirty?
Kind of.
Are you getting tired of my questions?
Kind of.
Kind of. Does she sing, like, worship music?
It's only my dad who sings worship music.
So your dad sings worship music, and your mom sings Beyonce?
Yeah.
If your mom was a superhero, what would her superpowers be?
Fast, so she could just get the laundry done, because we always have so much laundry.
So much laundry. Why would she need super speed, you think?
So she wouldn't be late anymore.
So
making people's ear hurt because how loud she sings.
She'd just go, and it would just stop the crime. What does she do at work?
She looks at people, or...
She looks at people?
Well...
That kind of sounds like Facebook.
No, usually it's just messaging.
Just messaging, just more, messaging. More, messaging. More and more messages, just constantly. So how does your mom know that you love her?
I tell her that.
You tell her that?
Yeah.
Do you guys say it at the same time like you just did then? Or no?
No. I give her hugs.
We play outside and we ride our scooters and bike.
How do you know that mom loves you?
She does kind stuff.
Yeah.
For me, she does my hair pretty, and she always sings to me. She cooks really good chicken, spaghetti. She gives us hugs.
Mom hugs are the best, aren't they?
She says, you know what? And I say, you love me. And she's like, how'd you know that? Because you always say it. Yeah, she always says it because she loves me.
It's kind of me and my brother. She's gone to her whole family.
Why is your mom the best mom in the world, do you think?
The only reason is because it's my mom.
You love her just because she's mom?
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Awesome. Do you have any questions about my mom?
Nope.
Not interested at all about my mom?
Nope.
Okay. Fair enough. Great job.
Kids are pretty cute, huh? They're pretty cool. We like you, kids. But it's been awesome worshiping with you so far, but we're going to send you to the back to find Shyla, and she is going to take you to your kids program where you guys continue to worship up there together. And the rest of us big kids out here, adults as we're commonly known as, but I don't know, some of us, we'll see. We're going to read some scripture, and we're going to pray together. And so this is actually the fourth Sunday of Easter. I know some of you are like, Easter was a long time ago and it's over now, but it's not. This is the season of Eastertide in the church calendar that we are a part of. And so the scripture reading for today is actually out of Acts 9, verses 36 to 45. And it's an incredible story if you aren't familiar with this. So fasten your seatbelts because this is a good one. So this is Acts 9, 36 to 43, actually, not 45. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, though, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. That's crazy. She sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. And then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. What a cool encouragement and a reminder that Jesus' resurrection wasn't just for Jesus, but it was really for all of us, that we are people of the resurrection. So let's just pray this corporate prayer together. So there's going to be some parts that I'll pray, and then your parts we'll read all together. But let's pray this prayer of Easter, praising God. It says this: "We praise you, living God, with songs and prayers and listening hearts and lives, trying to obey your voice. You have created and are creating, bringing life and hope and love. You come in Jesus, your word made flesh, to reconcile and make new. In a culture where the power death gets all of the headlines, your Holy Spirit summons us to be people shaped by your power to work resurrection. We are not sure we believe as fully as we think we should. We are not sure we trust as deeply as we think you require. But we bring who we are and what we have become into your presence, longing to know your grace and your love. Forgive what has gone wrong. Repair in us what is broken. Reveal in us what is good and turn us towards it. So we may follow wherever your spirit may lead. So we may love with the love of Jesus flowing through us. So may we, body, mind, and spirit, be children of resurrection, children of hope, children of grace. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kim. Good morning, everyone. Whether you're in the room here or online, we want to greet you this morning. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are with us. And just in the spirit of prayer, I'd ask us, and I'm going to lead us in one more prayer, to be praying for three things as a church body. Number one, Let's be praying, continue to pray for our finances. I've mentioned that to you. Gerald mentioned it last week in a video. Let's continue to pray for that. Also, could you pray for Sylvia and myself and Jeremy Vargas? We are heading off tomorrow to Vicente Guerrero, to our dream center down there, Mission San Quintin. We have not been down there for over 2 years, and we have a week of meetings back to back, and some of them are important meetings, and just would really value your prayers as we head down there tomorrow for a week. And one more, I really want to encourage the church to be praying for Joe Menez and his children and grandchildren and the rest of the family. Last night, Donna, a longtime member of SBC, lost her battle with ALS and has gone to be with the Lord. And as we were standing over there singing How Great Thou Art, I thought to myself, today Donna is singing that in the presence of Jesus. How great thou art. But we grieve, and we grieve as people of hope. So please be praying for Joe and the family. These are really difficult days for them. So let's lift them up as well. So I want to pray, and then I'll get into what I have to share with you this morning. So let's pray once again together. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you that we can celebrate and we can also mourn together. We think of the recent baby dedications, Lord, and we celebrate families bringing new life into this world. And we look at the other end, Lord, and we pray for Joe and his children and their grandchildren and the rest of the family this morning as they mourn the loss of Donna. Father, thank you that we do have, as we were just reading and praying about, we have resurrection hope. Thank you for the hope of the resurrection. Thank you that we celebrated that a few weeks ago. May that hope be a reality in Joe and the family's life today. And even as they hope, Lord, I pray that they will grieve well and that you will be with them in their grieving. Let your peace and your love be theirs during these very difficult days. May they know they're uplifted by the prayers of your people. And this morning, Lord, as we continue in our series, Do It Again, I pray you'll speak to us as we look at the life of a person who walked with you. May we learn together how we can better walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been at Sanish Baptist Church any length of time, you know we're all about what that white ball over there says, Live 6-8. We're all about living 6-8. In fact, the mission of our church is to inspire and equip people to live 6-8. And if you want to know what live 6-8 means, 6-8 comes from an Old Testament verse in the book of Micah, Micah 6-8, where it says, "He has shown you, O mortal," or "O man," "O woman," "O human being," "He has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" If you want to know what is good and what God requires of us, here it is. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God. How do we do that? How do we walk humbly with our God? What would it look like for you to walk humbly with your God throughout your day? Do you believe that's even possible, to walk humbly with God throughout your day? And if it is possible, what would it look like? Well, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, this is kind of part two of a sermon we started a couple of weeks ago. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you know we were talking about, how do we hear God? How do we journey through our day? How do we hear God? And what I want to do today in part two of this message is introduce you to a man named Frank Laubach. Now, my son Chris and his girlfriend Catherine are sitting over there. And last night I picked them up from the ferry and we're driving home. And Chris said to me, what are you speaking on? I said, I'm introducing the church to a man named Frank Laubach. And he said, on Mother's Day. Good choice. Yeah, oops, sorry moms, sorry all the ladies, bad Steve, but I'm still going to introduce you to Frank Laubach today. Frank Laubach was born on September the 2nd, 1884. And he became very well educated. He got a PhD in sociology in 1915, and then he headed to the Philippines as a missionary. Frank really felt called by God to go work with the Moros people on the southern coast of the island of Mindawa. And after 14 years of being in the Philippines, wanting to work with the Moros people, Frank found himself in 1930 crushed by a sense of deep disappointment. He was not only discouraged over his inability to engage with the Moros people, he was also profoundly dissatisfied with his own spiritual journey. On his 46th birthday, he wrote this in his journal: "I no longer have the sense that life is all before me, as I've had a few years ago. Some of it is behind, and a miserable poor part it is. So far below what I had dreamed, that I dare not even think of it, nor dare I think much of the future." Frank felt like his career was a failure. He was an educator and a missionary, and yet the people he was trying to engage were rejecting him. Three of his children had died of malaria. His wife and one remaining child, for health reasons, lived 1,400 kilometers away. Most evenings at sunset, Frank would climb a hill called Signal Hill. It was 20 minutes from his house, and Frank and his dog would walk up Signal Hill. There, overlooking the lakes and the mountains and the distant sea, he would pray. One evening, his spirit absolutely crushed, Frank climbed to the top of Signal Hill, and in despair, he sat on the top of that hill and he poured out his heart to God. That night, on that hill, God spoke to him. There on Signal Hill, God, in that small, quiet, inner voice, spoke to Frank. And he invited Frank to devote himself to daily living with him, to walk through his days in constant conversation with him, and to be responsive to his will. As Frank descended Signal Hill that night, he knew that the living God had invited him to live each moment of his day with him. This caused him to begin an experiment. He wrote about it again in his journal. Here's the experiment he began after his time that night on Signal Hill. He wrote this: "This year I've started trying to live all my waking moments in conscious listening to the inner voice, listening to the Spirit, asking without seeking, 'What Father do you desire said? What Father do you desire done this minute?'" And so began his adventure of a moment-by-moment conversation with God. For the next 40 years, Frank made it his goal to live in continuous conversation with God, constantly asking, "What Father do you desire said? What Father do you desire done this minute?" He would then do what he sensed God was asking him to do or say in the moment. So he came off Signal Hill, he'd had this encounter with God, and he said, "God, I'm going to live in constant conversation with you the rest of my days. I'm going to constantly ask as I go through my day, what Father do you desire done? What Father do you desire said? And then I'm going to do what I sense you're calling me to do or say." And he lived that way for 40 years. What difference did this way of living make in his own life? Let me read you a few journal entries after he started this experiment. After 30 days, Frank wrote this: "The sense of cooperation with God in little things is what so astonishes me, for I have never felt it this way before. I need something and turn around and find it waiting for me. I must work to be sure, but there is God working along with me. God takes care of all the rest. My part is to live this hour in continuous inner conversation with God and in perfect responsiveness to His will, to make this hour gloriously rich. This seems to be all I need to think about. After 60 days of experiment, he wrote this. The experiment is interesting, although I'm not very successful thus far. The thought of God slips out of my sight for, I suppose, 2/3 of every day. Yet this thing of keeping in constant touch with God is the most amazing thing I ever ran across. As I analyze myself, I find several things happening to me as a result of these 2 months. This concentration upon God is strenuous, but everything else has ceased to be so. I think more clearly. I forget less frequently. Things which I did with strain before, I now do easily with no effort whatever. I worry about nothing and lose no sleep. My task is simple and clear. On October 12, 1930, Frank wrote this: "Worries have faded away like ugly clouds, and my soul rests in the sunshine of perpetual peace. I can lie down anywhere in this universe, bathed around by my Father's own Spirit." And then later he wrote, and this is the last journal entry I'll read, he said this: "As for me, I never lived. I was half dead. I was like a rotting tree until I reached the place where I wholly, with utter honesty, resolved that I would find God's will and would do that will through every fiber, though every fiber in me said no. And I would win the battle in my thoughts. It was as though some deep artesian well had been struck and my soul of souls and strength came forth. I do not claim success even for a day yet, but some days are close to success, and every day is tingling with joy of glorious discovery. This afternoon, the possession of God has caught me up with such sheer joy that I thought I had never known anything like it. God was so close and so amazingly lovely that I felt like melting all over with a strange and blissful contentment." Do you see the transformation in his life? But before his Signal Hill experience, Frank Laubach saw his life as a failure. He described it as being half dead, like a rotting tree. He was full of regret. He had no hope for the future. He was lonely, and God seemed distant. Then Frank encountered God on Signal Hill. And after that encounter, he decided to live his life in constant, continuous conversation with God, asking continually, "What, Father, do you desire said? What, Father, do you desire done this minute?" Then he would do what he sensed God was asking him to do or say in the moment. And do you notice that God honored Frank's decision, and God used that experiment to transform his life? Frank, he said in his journal, began to think more clearly. His daily activities became easier. He began to sleep well. He worried about nothing. He rather lived in perpetual peace. He experienced joy and contentment and hope. And as he said, it was though some artesian well had been struck in my soul of souls and strength came forth. God transformed him. But what difference did Frank's way of living make in the lives of others? Far from making him a nut bar or making him a self-obsessed hermit, his partnership with God blessed the world. From Signal Hill in the Philippines until his death at 85 in June of 1970, Frank lived a very full and fruitful life. He became the founder of a worldwide literacy movement. Frank developed A simple method of instruction that permitted even the most disadvantaged person to not only learn to read, but to also teach others to read. And through his program, over 100 million people were equipped with the ability to read. He's been called the greatest educator in modern times. Have you ever heard the phrase, each one teach one? That's Frank Laubach. He was voted Man of the Year in America. He became an advisor to U.S. presidents. He wrote over 50 books. And he had a worldwide influence, not only on literacy, but also on poverty and injustice. And Frank would tell you his whole secret was simply this. He learned to walk humbly with God, simply and continuously, one day at a time, asking, what, Father, do you desire done in this moment? And then he would do what he sensed God was leading him to do or say. Could we do that? Could we do what Frank Laubach did? Could we learn to walk humbly with our God, simply and continuously, one day at a time, asking, Father, what do you want done in this moment? And then be willing to do whatever God asks us to do or say in the moment. Could we do that? The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 this, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. In other words, stop just talking to yourself. You know, we've always got the conversation going on with ourselves in our heads. And Paul's saying, stop just talking to yourself and start talking to God. Have an ongoing conversation with God. Pray continually. What would it look like for you to do that? For you to journey through your day and have a continuous conversation with God. Now, notice I say conversation because it's two-way, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Not only in prayer do we talk to God, but God wants to speak to us. And we talked about the numerous ways he wants to do that a couple of weeks ago. But one of the key ways is through the Holy Spirit prompting and leading and guiding us through that still inner voice, that small inner voice. What would it look like for you to have an ongoing conversation with God as you move through your day? What do you think would happen if you decided to walk humbly with God, simply and continuously, one day at a time, saying, God, what do you want me to say or do in this moment? And then be willing, when God leads you, to do or say whatever he leads you to do. Two things for sure would happen. Number one, those promptings and leadings of the Holy Spirit we talked about a couple of weeks ago would become more and more normal, natural part of your life. Secondly, like Frank Laubach, I think we'd be amazed at what God would do in and through us. Maybe you'd find your worry wiped out, replaced with perpetual peace. Maybe you'd find yourself sleeping better. Maybe you'd find contentment, joy, and hope. And who knows how God would use you to impact others as you sought to walk humbly with him in a continuous conversation. Just like God invited Frank on that hill to devote himself to daily living with him, to walk through his days in continuous conversation with him and be responsive to his wills, I think today God's inviting us into that same journey. And so today, here's what I want to do. I want to challenge us, starting tomorrow, starting Monday morning, to do a 30-30 experiment or challenge together. And if you decide to take this challenge, you're going to do three things for the next 30 days. Number one, every 30 minutes for the next 30 days, you're going to briefly stop, and I mean briefly stop, and recall three things. Every 30 minutes, you're going to stop and briefly recall three things. Number one, that God is present with you. that you are committed to walking through your day in a continued conversation with him. And three, that you are willing to do whatever he leads and guides you to do or say. And so every 30 minutes you stop and briefly say, thank you, Jesus, that you're walking with me. I'm remembering in this moment that I'm committed to having a continuous conversation with you. And as you lead and guide me, I will do and say what you lead and guide me to do and say. That's number one. Number two, then you'll go through the rest of your day attempting to stay in a continuous conversation with God. As you go through your day, you'll just pray about everything you're doing. Asking over and over as you go through your day, Father, thank you for being with me. What do you want me to do or say in this moment? And then number three, you'll commit to doing what the Holy Spirit prompts and guides you to do and say. So let's summarize. Throw up the next screen. Here it is. Boop. There we go. 30-30. You're going to stop every 30 minutes briefly. Thank God for his presence. Remind yourself you're committing to be in a continuous conversation with him. And remind yourself also you're willing to do and say whatever he leads you to do and say. Then after you remind yourself, you're going to try to stay in a continuous conversation with God throughout the day. And then, thirdly, as the Spirit prompts and leads you, which he will, you'll be willing to do what the Holy Spirit prompts you to do and say. 30-30 challenge. Now, here's some practical tips to make this a reality. Number one, you can set your smartphone, set your watch to beep or vibrate every 30 minutes as a reminder that you need to take a brief moment to do those three things. Thank God for his presence. Remind yourself that you're committed to being in a continuous conversation with him. And remind yourself you're also committed to doing what the Spirit leads you to do and say. So set your phone, or if you've got a smartwatch or whatever, to beep or vibrate. You can be in a meeting, and this can vibrate, and you just take 10 seconds to remind yourself of that. Second, we put out a bunch of stickers. I think we sent the WRC number of stickers out to CPC and vice versa. So we don't have a lot of these here today, but we'll have a whole bunch next week. And these are just little stickers. That's on my iPad keyboard. You can just take these 30-30 stickers and you can stick them everywhere. And so we'll have a bunch of sheets of these next week for you. You can put them on your rearview mirror, put them on your Bible, put them on your bathroom mirror, wherever you want to put them, your smartphone. And these just remind you, they're just a reminder of your commitment to intentionally walk through the day with Jesus. And so you'll see this, I'll open up my iPad, I'll see that, and it'll remind me, oh yeah, I'm going to be in continuous conversation with Jesus. The next thing I'd encourage you to do is to keep a journal. Be like Frank, keep a journal. Let's see what God's going to do through these days. And then find at least one other person who will do the challenge with you, because I think accountability is important. Because at the beginning, this is a new habit. New habits require effort. And here's something I want to encourage you with. Don't get discouraged if you get sidetracked, if you forget. Every 30 minutes when your phone or your watch beeps or vibrates is a chance for a fresh beginning to start all over again. The disciples, they hung out with Jesus, they did life with him, and it changed the world. Frank Laubach hung out with Jesus, he did life with him, and not only did it transform Frank's life, it changed the lives of 100 million people. And so today I'm inviting you to start a 30-30 experiment with me tomorrow. For the next 30 days, let's attempt to stay in continuous conversation with Jesus as we go throughout our days. Again, here's a challenge just to drive it home one more time. Here's the three things you're committing to. Number one, you're going to stop every 30 minutes very briefly and remind yourself that God is present with you, that you're committed to walking through your day in continuous conversation with him, and you're willing to do whatever he leads and guides you to say and to do. Second part of this is after you remind yourself of that, you're going to do it. You're going to stay in a continuous conversation with God as you go throughout your day, asking over and over, Father, what do you want me to do or say in this moment? Father, what do you want me to do or say in this moment? And then third, you're going to do what the Holy Spirit prompts you to do or say. And I can't wait to hear the stories that come out of this. And so my question as I close is, will you take the plunge and will you join me? I believe the 30-30 challenge can help us be that spark we've been talking about. So will you go for it with me? Will you take the plunge? Will you step out and join me on a 30-30 challenge, committing every 30 minutes to stop and remind yourself? After you remind yourself, committing yourself to walk through the day in continuous conversation with Jesus, and then be willing to do whatever the Spirit leads you to do or say in the moment. Will you join me? Will you join me? I hope you will. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the life of Frank Laubach and what an encouragement it can be to us, a challenge it can be to us. God, I just pray as we embark on this challenge as a church, that you will lead and guide us. Father, help us, empower us to go out and share your love and grace with people who need your love and grace. Help us to be people of mercy and justice in these days. And so allow us to learn from Frank and to step into the challenge that he stepped into. And as we do that, may we not only see our lives transform, but may we see the lives of others positively impacted with your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I invite you to stand if you're able. Let's sing this song, Build My Life, as we close. Show us who you are, God, and fill us with your heart and lead us in your love to those around us. Let's sing this together. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Holy, there is no one like.
'Cause holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those. It's not an easy challenge that we've been given this morning, but know that you don't go forth into that challenge should you choose to accept it on your own. That not only are we having a continual conversation with our God, but He is also continually empowering us to be able to do that. So if you're looking at that challenge and thinking, whoa, that is way out of my range, that's way out of my league, no way I can do that. I challenge you to just give it a try, because the Holy Spirit is able to come alongside us and encourage us and lead us and guide us through those things. We're so glad that you've joined us for worship. We would love to connect with you if this is your first time here, whether you've been here for a long time. There's a little connect card in the seat in front of you, or you can go to our website and find it. But we would love for you to fill that out. We would love to get to know you and be able to connect with you in some way. So please fill that out. You can take it, if you're filling it out in person, to the back and drop it in the offering plate, where you can also drop off any offering that you have come prepared to give. We're so grateful for the ways that you support us financially as well as in prayer. And so please, if you would love to do that, you can check that out. As always, we will have some people available at the front to pray with you should you desire to do so. And for all of the moms, as you head out, go out the back and you'll see some gentlemen with some flowers, and we would love to give you one of those to celebrate you today. But just as we head out, I want to leave us with this benediction, which is really out of that Romans 12:1 passage. And it says this: here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I love that. We'll go in peace, and we'll see you next week, hopefully. Take care.
see.